Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Pastor's ACDC, Thursday night Bible study. There's nothing new under the sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the studio in Landover Hills, Maryland, along with my friend and mentor, Dr. Gregory. Good evening, Dr. Gregory. Along with my big sister, Sheila G, over in Forestville, Maryland. How are you, Sheila G?
Blessed.
Amen, amen. It's good to be back with the T-Nuts Bible study one more time. We're excited again about studying the Word of God, studying about Job and how he was able to maintain his integrity until the Lord restored him. And so we're continuing in that tonight. But before we get going, we want to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we thank you, God, for another privilege, another opportunity to stand and to be able to study your word, God. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we'll be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. We thank you again, God. Bless us that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share with others, and that this will be done to your glory. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
When we picked up on last week, we were talking about how Job was able to maintain his integrity even to the point where he dealt with his friends and how they really didn't understand that their theology, Dr. Gregory, wasn't God's theology.
Mm-hmm.
And that when we assume that we know and we can predict what God's going to do, that's when God does the unpredictable.
Amen.
And you know, it was a thing where Sheila G, he Job and his friends thought that if you were a righteous person, you live righteous and upright, that trouble wasn't supposed to knock on your doorstep.
Right.
But their theology was incorrect, because God will use trouble on the righteous man or woman to demonstrate towards God that those that are around them can understand that even when you're going through a difficult situation, you still can have faith and that God can keep you in that situation, that God won't put any more on you than you can bear, and eventually God will bring you out.
Right.
And the thing is that we have to learn how to faithfully wait on God. And when we learn to faithfully wait on God, then what that does is we begin to start seeing different things about God. Our relationship with God begins getting stronger because we begin to start seeing God's keeping power in the midst of the storm.
Amen. I agree with you, Doc. And that's one of the things that the Lord teaches us, especially over the Psalms. He says, you know, we've got to learn how to wait. And while we're waiting, we've got to be of good courage. Good courage.
Amen.
Philip G.
Yes, that helps, and that waiting helps us to lean and depend on the Lord. And that is a time that we should be, while we're waiting, we should be listening and communicating with God so that will help build our relationship. And the closer you draw to Him, that's how you know that He's with you while you're waiting. Sometimes we want to wait, whine, and complain, but then we can't receive the comfort of God because we're not sitting quietly and letting Him minister to us.
Amen.
I like that. You said whining and complaining. While we're waiting.
While we're waiting.
Oh, my goodness. The thing that we want to look at tonight, and I want everybody to turn to the 42nd chapter of the book of Job, which is the last chapter. And I want to look at verse 10, starting verse 10. And when we begin to stop trying to put God in a box and stop trying to put God in our theology or our understanding, what happens is God begins to bless us beyond what our finite mind can understand.
Amen.
In other words, when we think God's going to bless us one way, God has the ability to bless us in a way that we could have never imagined.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
And so here Job is he's praying for his friend. He submits his will under God's will and say, God, you know, I was a fool to question you, God. I was mistaken. He turned back, and then God asked him to pray for his friend so that their mind could get straight.
All right.
And so once Job's mind got straight, once his friend's mind got straight, then what happens is God says, now I can take you to the next level.
Hello.
And so
last
Thursday's, you know, study, we were saying that in order for us to go to the next level of God, that we have to learn to surrender our will over to God's will, that even though we might not understand what we're going through,
amen,
that we're going to trust God and not try to figure Him out,
all right,
you know, for ourselves. Sheila G?
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's the thing. That's why it says lean not to your own understanding. And understanding that the reason why we should not lean to our own understanding, because our understanding is finite. God's plan is infinite. And because of that, that's why we have to lean and trust and believe in Him.
And one of the things, Dr. G, that many of us struggle with, well, I'm going to say I struggle with, is when people treat you wrong. Lord have mercy.
Hello.
That God still wants you to maintain your faith. He wants you to pray for them and help them.
That's right.
What's up with that, Dr. G?
I mean, that's all hooked up in love. And if you want to be forgiven of your own deeds, you've got to learn how to forgive those who have done wrong to you. And it's all in the plan of God. To be blessed, you've got to learn how to bless others. So, you know,
that's
again,
right.
God teaches us in His Word that my ways are not like your ways. So, I mean, in the logical way, they can let us all.
Yeah.
But in God's way,
So Jesus taught the same thing. He said to bless those that despitefully use you and say all manner of evil about you for His sake.
Lord,
and so in His waiting, he's covered with boils from head to toe. In His waiting, he got a close relationship with God while he was in sickness. In His waiting on God, he got the ability to understand that God's theology was superior to his theology.
Mm.
In his understanding, he got the ability to have forgiveness of his friends the way they treated him, learned how to pray for them,
wow,
and yet while he was still going through this.
Amen.
Right.
Sheila G, what would you think was going through Job's mind when all of this was coming to a head?
He probably was saying to himself, now, I know that God's not going to put anything more on me than I can bear, but in the way I'm feeling, I can't take much more. But I'm going to trust you, Lord. I believe you. I still believe in you. I'm not saying I don't have faith, but in my mind, I can't take much more. I can't take one more thing. And then one more thing would come, and then it's like, mm-hmm, I can't take one more thing, and then one more thing would come. I can't, mm-hmm, take one more thing. And in his finite world, he's saying that, but the spirit man within him still trusted God.
Yeah.
But
right,
when he got to the limit where it was like, okay, Lord, I really can't take one more thing. Why was I even born? Why did you even allow me to be born? It's not so much cursing God, but cursing himself for living.
Right.
And that's when,
right,
God had to break it down for him. It's like, you think you can't take much more, but I know more about you. I know every hair on your head. Right. I know all your emotions. I know what the ultimate plan is. You can take much more.
Wow. So it's Dr. G, what, help me out here. When you begin to start understanding that God knows what's best for you, and when you get that set in your spirit, Dr. G, that God knows what's best for you, how do you begin to start coming out of, you know, leave my plan behind,
mm-hmm,
because I know God knows what's best for me?
Well, because I've been there, and you get to a point, whereas the Lord is speaking, he's revealing things to you. He's showing you the whole time that you got to trust in me. You got to do it this way, not that way.
Mm-hmm.
And as you draw closer, as your focus is on him, you keep your sights set on him. Your faith has got to stay intact. Then you begin to understand God is revealing to you, mm-hmm, exactly what his plan is. And then you say in your mind, oh, okay, I got you.
Then you start understanding.
Then you begin to understand.
And that's the thing about the Holy Spirit of God, is when you begin to start understanding,
mm-hmm,
Sheila G, what happens is you begin to start saying, oh, man, I was doing this thing the wrong,
mm-hmm,
way all along. but when God begins to start taking those scales from your eyes,
mm-hmm,
and begins,
yeah,
to start revealing himself to you, what,
yeah,
happens is you lose that bitterness, you lose,
amen,
that angerness, you lose,
all right,
that self-pity,
mm-hmm,
but you begin to start saying, okay, God, this is what's going on. Now I understand. My theology was a bunch of mess.
Come on.
But now, God, I understand that you had a reason for me
a
going
plan.
Through this. You had a plan and
a
purpose.
Plan. That's right.
And you are doing this so that I can go to the next level,
uh-huh,
and ultimately that you can get the glory.
Amen.
Sheila G.
That's right. That's right. And in order to do that, you have to have that relationship with him. It's just like any type of relationship. If you have that relationship to him, when he starts speaking to you and revealing those things, you're like, oh, I got it. But if you don't have that relationship through prayer, through studying of his word, then you're lost. But it's so important to have that relationship with him, and then he can speak to your heart and then to speak to your mind, and then the scales fall off and you understand and you're like, okay, I know I got to go through to get through, but as long as you're right there with me, I can do it.
Amen. Hey, say that one more again.
I'm sorry,
what? You got to do what? Go through to get through? Say that again?
Go through, yeah, you got to go through to get through.
you got to go through to get through.
Yeah,
and when you begin to start understanding that, that's when God says, now she's ready.
Hello.
That's
right.
When God says, now he's ready.
Right.
Now God says, okay, now that you're ready, now that you've seen this level, and you have a clear understanding this level, and you know that your way is not going to work, and my way is the only way that's going to work. Now God can begin to start opening up another level for you.
Amen.
He begins to start opening up,
mm-hmm,
a new door, a new blessing for,
all
you,
right,
because he now understands you know how to handle this level.
Come on.
See, God,
right.
Dr. G,
come
man,
on.
If I'm right,
come on.
God's not going to elevate,
nope,
you to another level until you learn how to trust him at the current level that
that's
you
right.
have.
That's right.
Right. And trusting him.
Trusting and believing in him, and it all goes down, as Sheila G was saying, that relationship. I mean, you in any kind of relationship, you counsel people, there's got to be some trust developed. You've got to build up that trust. And God will take you through to show you he's got this.
Mm-hmm.
But then something else with that, while you're going through, you better learn how to put a smile on your face and give him thanks for it.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Right. In everything, give thanks.
Everything, give thanks. And so when we let's okay, I know I told everybody to go to chapter 42, but let's go quickly to the book of Psalms. Let's go to Psalm 40 and see how God revealed to Isaiah in Psalm 40 that this thing affects everybody. Isaiah 40. And what God lets us know is that this thing affects everybody. And when you begin to understand that you know, God has this same plan for everyone, is that he has to reveal himself to you. He has to build a relationship and a trust with you, so that when you begin to start getting there, you'll understand that there's a plan, there's a purpose in you having to go through. So let's look at Isaiah 40, and you know, this is one of the greatest scriptures when you begin at verse 28. Isaiah 40, beginning at verse 28. This is one of the greatest scriptures that lets us know that you're going to go through, but you're going to rise up. You might be falling down, but you're going to rise up. You might have some trouble, but you're going to be able to get back up. And so Isaiah was able to, God was able to allow him to see down through the corridors of time and understand that his people were going to go through. They were going to go through a Babylonian captivity. Their walls were going to be destroyed. They were going to be taken captive. Their brightest and youngest people were going to be in prison. But he was allowed them to understand. He allowed Isaiah to prophesy and look down through the quarters of time and be able to see that there's hope at the end of that quarter,
mm-hmm.
that even though there's streaks of trouble, that ultimately there's going to be a blessing where God's people are going to rise back up. And that's the same process that we go through. If you look down through the corridors of our lives, there's going to be streaks down that corridor through, but ultimately God is going to allow us to rise back up and advance to the next level. Let's go to Isaiah 40, verse 28. He said, "Has thou not known?" In other words, he's telling, Isaiah is prophesying to God's people that you know, there's going to be a Babylonian captivity, but they need to know that they're not always going to be in captivity. And that's the thing that God got across to Job. That's the thing that God has gotten across to his Christians, that we're not always going to be in a captivity. And our captivity right now, Sheila G, is to be caught up in this flesh that we're in.
Hello.
And God lets us know we're going to be in the flesh, Dr. G.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be going through, but the flesh is not the end of our relationship with God.
Mm-mm.
Lord have mercy. Let's look at that. Isaiah 40, verse 28, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God," see how God is speaking through Isaiah of telling people who God is.
Come on.
He's saying, "Didn't you know?" Oh, and the young people will say, "I thought you knew." So Isaiah is saying, "I thought you knew who God was, that he is the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding." Isn't this the same thing that God told Job?
Same thing.
When Job was going through, God had to break it down to him and ask him, "Where were you, Job, when I developed the water? Where were you, Job, when I told the water you can't come up on the land? Where were you, Job, when I made the mountains come up out of the ground?" So he's saying the same thing through Isaiah. "Don't you know? I thought you knew who God was." It's the same thing he's saying to us tonight. There's nothing new under the sun. That God has this thing in control. Let's look at verse 29. He says, "He give power to the faint, And to them that have no might, he increases strength. In other words, there's an understanding underlying in here is that there's going to be times where you faint and you don't have strength.
All right.
Dr. G.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, you're right. During those times, God will lift you up. He's right. It's just like that poem, footprints in
yes.
the sand.
Yes.
That when
yes.
you think you're too weak to carry yourself, that's when the Lord carries you.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. Sheila G, so our understanding is there's going to be times where we're weak. There's going to be times
yeah.
where we don't have strength. But
right.
that's what Paul says, when I'm weak, that's when God
yeah.
is strong.
Amen.
And
he said, I'm going to glory in my weakness, because when I'm weak, that's when God will show up. That's where God will show up. And in verse 29, he says, he gives power to the faint and to them that have no might, he increases strength.
Right.
And this is what I want the young folks to understand. In verse 30, it says, even the youth shall faint. In other words, this is not just a set aside for those who are older, but everybody going to go through.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Young people, middle-aged people, seniors, it says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and
uh-huh.
the young men shall utterly fall.
Hello.
There's one of the favorite words that I love in the Bible, and that's the word but.
Mm.
That word conjunction. That means that the story is not over. Lord have mercy.
Come
I'm ready to run out of here.
Come on.
I'm ready to run out of here. Y'all don't know I'm ready to run out of here. The story is what? Not over.
Not over.
In other words, when God puts a but there, that uh-huh. means that what's happened in the first part of that sentence is not the end. Somebody can
uh-huh.
scream and run out of their house.
That's right.
Somebody can scream. Come on back here. No, just go ahead and run out your house. That means the first part of that sentence is not the end. The
All
conjunction
right.
means that
right.
God's got to tie something mm-hmm. else to the first part of that sentence.
Right.
No, y'all don't hear me tonight.
Hello.
Y'all don't hear me
Come
tonight.
On.
I'm not going to preach tonight.
Come
I'm not going to preach tonight. But what God says when he says that in verse 30 about youth fainting, about youth being weary, about people having no strength in verse 29 and having no might, that's the first part of the sentence, but it ain't over.
Come on.
No.
Because God put a but there that lets you
but.
Know, yes, this might happen in your life, Job. This might happen in your life, Dr. G, Sheila
mm-hmm.
G, and everyone
uh-huh.
from the Heart of God, a new birth, whoever's listening. But that's not it.
Nope.
Because God put that D-U-T there. And when you understand that I'm going through, but.
Watch out.
Come on, help me out, Dr. G.
I mean, it's awesome when you think about it. And that's the thing right there, that's his assurance. That's a promise that he's making to you that you may go through,
but.
He's still right there with you.
Mm-hmm.
Sheila G, have you ever been to the point where you couldn't wait to get to the butt?
Yes.
That's a point where all of us have to get to is to say, okay, I don't have any strength. I don't have any might.
Tired.
The youth are weary.
Mm.
The young men are fainting. And you have to wait on God so you can get to the butt to take care of what's happened through the first part of the sentence. The first part of the sentence gives you a condition that we don't like to go through that's difficult. But
uh-huh.
God says that there's a but that's coming that's not going to allow that sentence to be final.
All right.
He's not going to put
right.
a period behind
mm-hmm.
all that stuff that you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm going to put a but there to tell you that there's a blessing on the other
on
side
the other
of
side.
The but.
Right. That's right.
And so when you look down at verse 31, Isaiah 40, verse 40, 31, it says, but they that
wait
upon
the Lord,
God, oh my,
shall renew their strength.
Shall what?
Renew their strength.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you keep waiting on God.
Right.
You keep trusting
uh-huh.
God.
Uh-huh.
God's going to get you through.
Mm-hmm.
And then
right.
once you renew your strength, he said, you shall
mount up
with wings as
eagles.
You're going to be able to run and what?
Not get weary.
And you shall be able to walk what?
Walk not faint.
So in other words, there's going to come a time where God's going to deliver you, amen, from the things that were troubling you and holding you
down. That is so true. And I always help people when they're going through, say, for example, I had an employee that had cancer. She had breast cancer, and she was going through chemo, and it was really killing her. And it started, say, like in January. And I told her, I said, I want you to think about something, that I want you to picture June, which is 6 months down the road. And when you're going through that chemo and when you're thinking about it, I want you to say to yourself, June is coming. And the reason you to say June is coming, because that means that you're going to go through all this. But if I make it to June, I'm going to be all right. And that's basically what this scripture is saying, is that, okay, you're weak, you're weary, but if you wait on me, your change is going to come. And she said that really helped her, because when she was going through the chemo and she was really sick, she would say, June is coming, June is coming. She said it was almost like looking forward to a vacation, even though she didn't have a vacation. But it's like that vacation, and that vacation from the challenges that she was going through.
Yeah, June is coming. I like that. I like that.
Every time I do go through, I pick like 3 or 4 months down the road, and I'll say whatever that month is, and I'll say, okay, May is coming. May is coming. Mm-hmm. If I could just make it to May, I'm going to be good. And I'm going to look back, and I'm going to say, this is how God brought me through.
Amen. Mm-hmm. My wife and I, Tawana and I, around about August, we begin to start getting a little weary from ministry. And we really get, you know, we're making it through the end of the summer. You know, we got to press through the end of the year. And around about August, end of July, about first week in August, we start saying, you know, January is coming.
That's when we take
our vacation in January. And so the end of July, August, we like, 1 month, or 2 more, or 6 more months. We know that January is coming, because, you know, people really... I don't think they understand, Dr. G, but ministry, you can get weary in ministry, especially in the ministry.
Yes.
You can get weary of the grind of Sunday after Sunday, month after month.
Uh-huh.
Even when everybody else is going on vacation, you're still on the grind.
That's right.
And so we begin to start looking toward January and August.
Yes, and that's the same. That is what the scripture is saying. It's like, okay, you're going through right now. You're weak. You're weary, but if you wait on me, June will come. If you wait on me, January is going to come. If you wait on me, May is going to come. And you just have to be of good courage and understand that that time frame is going to come, that you're not going to be in this situation and in this position always if you wait on me.
Yeah. Hallelujah. That's good stuff, Dr. G.
And I was just sitting here thinking, because while I was coming up through the ministry, it took a couple of classes on the art of positive thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And what this verse 31 teaches us, you've got to be able to think positive about what God promises that he will do.
Amen.
And all of what you're saying, you're waiting on June, you're looking forward to January, that's the art of positive thinking. And positive thinking will help you to wait on God. And while you're waiting, renew that strength in him.
Amen. So let's go back to Job, that 42nd chapter of Job, and see how Job got blessed by learning to wait on God. Let's go back to Job 42, and let's go back to verse 10. Job 42 and 10. And here, after Job is blessed, his three friends. Let's go to verse 9. It says, So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Namathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. So in other words, Job blessed them. His friends got right with God. And that's why I tell people, if anybody is made in the image of God, there's still hope for them until they take their last breath.
Amen.
You know, a lot of times people give up on you. A lot of times people will throw you away. But there's the hand of grace is extended to them, and that they can be changed, and God can reach them. And I think sometimes people are too short, too quick to throw people away, and not say that God can reach them. I know uh-huh. Minister Sykes, she always says it takes some longer than others.
Amen.
Right.
But God can reach anybody at whatever time in their life where they're ready. And I know little Billy is getting ready to do his sermon, getting back into the ministry on Sunday. And Dr. G and Sheila G, you guys never gave up on him. Now God has gotten to the point where he's revealed to him,
amen,
you know, what he uh-huh. wants to do. And now he's ready to move forward and go forward in ministry, you know,
right.
where the place where God called him.
Amen.
So uh-huh. so we can laugh at Eliphaz. And
mm-hmm.
We can laugh at Zophar. We can laugh at the Bildad. But these fellas were accepting of God. They repented. And now God could use them. Dr.
Uh-huh.
G.
You're right. And that's a very big part of anyone's life. It doesn't matter how many times you've sinned, or it doesn't matter how long you've been, as long as somewhere in there you see the light and you understand the calling of God. And Sister Sykes is right. It takes some longer
mm-hmm.
than others. But
uh-huh.
all can be forgiven if they repent.
Right. That's exactly right.
So, you know, that tells all of us that you know, all of us, nobody, I don't think any of us came to this world,
mm-mm.
you know, saved where mm-mm. we needed to be. I think everybody had a life where they were disobedient to God, and that there had to be people around us, even people that we might have hurt, I mean, people we might have disappointed, that had to pray for us,
mm.
that had to make sacrifice for us. Until we got to the point where we were ready to take up the mantle of God.
Uh-huh.
Sheila G?
That's true. And it's so true that it does take some longer than others. And that's why I have a problem when people become holier than thou and begin to judge. And we can't judge others because we don't know what that person may or may not have gone through. And we don't know how strong some people are stronger in the Lord and some than others as they continue to grow. Some grow fast, some grow slowly. Mm-hmm. And that's
right.
why it's important that we as Christians do not judge people, because
right.
you don't
Amen.
Know what that person may need to go through and be where they are at that time, so that later
Amen.
On they'll be stronger and be able to help somebody else.
And with that, too, you know, it's important for us as Christians that we continue to show the love of God and be there to continue to pray for individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Because as Sheila
right.
G said, we don't know what God's plan is.
Exactly.
But
right.
we have to trust in him that he knows what he's doing.
Amen.
Right.
And you know, that's one thing about God when we're studying his word. I mean, I know I looked at this thing 20 or 30 times.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the word again, it reveals something fresh to
yes,
you.
Yes, it does.
I mean, it's revealing something fresh to you, because that's the Holy Spirit revealing to us what we need to learn tonight. And that's why we say there's nothing new under the sun. That's why the Bible study that we have is peanuts. There's nothing new under the sun. In other words, God knows what we need, and he's been there. He's done that. He knows what to give to us through the Spirit so that we can grow in the moment that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
And,
uh-huh.
and here, Job has learned forgiveness. Job has learned to trust in God. Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar, they've repented and they learned to turn to God. And so now that they've gotten there, here is the they that wait on the Lord. Here's where God mm-hmm. begins to start turning their situation around. And that's what I tell people, you got to be able to hold on until you wait till your change comes.
Change comes. Yep.
Your change comes, and change is coming.
Uh-huh.
So when you look at verse 10 of Job 10, it says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friend. Also, the Lord gave Job how much?
twice
as much as he had
before.
God will give you double
for your trouble.
Lord have mercy. And so when he said, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friend, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. In other words, when we started back in chapter 1, mm-hmm. Job was in captivity under the power of Satan.
Uh-huh.
And so Satan was working this thing of his boils and his sores, and Job went through a period of depression. He went through a period of frustration with his wife. He went through a period of frustration with his friend. All of this is captivity, and it's of the devil, and it's not of God. But God uh-huh. will allow the enemy. God will actually use the enemy while the enemy brings this on us, so that God can get the glory. And so here in verse 10, the power that Satan had over Job, mm-hmm. all through verse 1, now he was delivered from it.
Mm-hmm.
And as fast as it came on, God Almighty,
well.
As fast as God can take it off.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Right.
And so when you begin to look at this, it says, now that soon as you get it, as soon as it's revealed to you, it says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job. In other words, when he what? Prayed what? For his friend.
Amen.
In other words, he was in the right mind that now I'm ready to repent myself and pray for my friends. In other words, God's purpose and plan has been fulfilled
Amen.
In his life. And now at the moment he prayed, the captivity was gone.
Mm. That's right. He learned to be content in his state. He learned to be content in his state, and God took him to the next level.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned Psalm 40.
Yeah.
And I went over there. Check this out. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, mm-hmm. and he inclined unto me and heard my cry.
Yeah.
He brought me up also out of an horrible pit,
my Lord.
Out of the miry clay,
yeah.
and set my feet upon a rock Amen. And established my going. Same thing that he was doing with Job.
Amen. Uh-huh. Amen. And the underlying thing here is that God, and I tell people, God will use any means necessary.
Yes, he will.
To get us to the next level and for him to get to the glory.
Amen.
So don't come up with your own theology thinking that God won't use something.
He will.
Use your enemy. Have you ever noticed that God will use your husband or your wife to get you to pray more?
Come on now.
Well,
happy Valentine's Day.
That's the truth.
If I'm messing with somebody tonight, God will use your husband and your wife
and your
to get
children
you to pray a little bit more.
Amen. And your
hard.
Children.
And your children.
And your children.
Yeah. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
In other words, you pray a little bit harder when somebody is acting up
Amen.
In your life.
Mm-hmm.
Sheila G, tell me something about that, Sheila G.
I know that. Like my mother used to say that she would wear out. She'd be praying so much for the kids, she would wear out her knees. And when her knees got worn out, she'd sit on her butt and just keep on praying. That's how hard she was praying.
I know that's right. Dr.
And,
G.
Well, you know, to go along with that, I find that now, instead of getting mad with people when they don't do right, I go pray on them.
Amen.
That's true.
And as your mama says, sit back and just take a look and see what God does. Because he knows best. So why should I get upset, become depressed, get mad, begin to do evil thoughts?
That's right.
When all I got to do is go pray.
Go to the Lord in prayer.
That's right.
And so that's where Job's change came. He came. He said, when he said, and the Lord turned the captive of Job when he prayed
for his friend.
Did you see that right there? It says that's when the captivity or the attack of the enemy ceased.
Mm-hmm.
When he got to the point where he said, I need to stop thinking about myself, stop being selfish,
come on,
and pray for my friends.
Mm.
And so now we're all right with God. And so through this, now Satan has been defeated. His plan has been defeated, that he said if you would touch his body, that he would curse you and to your face. And so now God has shown Satan and all the principalities, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, all the spiritual principalities, God has proven to them that because of his love, that man will trust him even in the midst of his calamity that he's dealing with. And that's what we talk about with our five senses. We have five senses, but there's other things that are going on in this world, in the spirit realm, that we can't see. But because God reveals himself to us, we can trust him by faith without actually seeing what's going on in the spirit realm, where Satan is, and his fallen angels are have an agenda to try to destroy us. But we have the faith in the Spirit of God that allows us to see spiritually to the point where we can understand this is what God's plan is for me to repent, turn back to God, and for me to pray for my friends so they can repent and turn back to God. And then when God's purpose and plan has been fulfilled, then the power that Satan had is relinquished off of us because God's plan and purpose for us and him getting the glory has been fulfilled.
Right.
But you know, let me jump in for a minute.
Go ahead.
Because one thing that hurts a lot of folks is that pride. That pride won't let them, although they may not think they're doing anything or the Lord is using, you know, he's doing all this and I ain't done nothing. Mm-hmm. But that pride will keep them from repenting and looking at it in the way that God wants them to.
Amen. Amen. And those are the things that when we talked about that in Genesis that causes the fall is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. All of those things are of the world and not of God. And again, those things will cause us to fall and take us longer to get to the point where God can deliver us from the captivity.
That's right.
So here it is. He prayed for him, and now God has given him double for your trouble. And this is what I tell people all the time. God is waiting to bless you. Somebody get ready to run.
Yes, he is.
Somebody just hooped and hollered hallelujah.
Yes, he
is. Somebody just ran down the steps. God is waiting to bless you.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say that one more time, Sheila G. God is waiting to bless you. In other words, God is waiting for you to make that moment in time for you to say, okay, God, I got it. I understand. I'm going to repent of this, and I'm going to do it this way. And God is waiting to just pour that blessing out on you. Sheila G.
And he's waiting for us to trust in him. You know, sometimes we trust each other more than we trust the Lord. And if we trust the Lord, then that will even help better with the relationships that we have with others. And along with that, you know, while we're waiting, a lot of times it's like, well, how do you know? How do you have your faith? How do you know you're going to get through? That's when you pull on your past victories. Because every last one of us has been through a situation that we didn't know that we were going to get out of. But somehow, even when we weren't saved, somehow God brought us through. So you can even look back on your life and pull from those past victories to know that God has his hand on you.
And just the fact, I walk around. Just knowing that the presence of God is with me and that God can break out with a blessing at any second.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're already blessed to be able to walk around and have a reasonable portion of health and strength to be able to have just a basic need. But to understand that God is sitting here, he's waiting to pour out a blessing. He's waiting to bless you. He's very present right now, waiting for us to get into that relationship and get into that place where we are in line with his blessing. In other words, God can't pour it out if we're not in line.
Amen.
In other words, God's got your blessing. He's got your lesson. But we got to get to the point where we're lining up with him to the point where he can pour that blessing out, because he's not going to pour it out unless we're lining up with him.
Amen. Let me throw in something.
Go ahead.
Something Lord just hit me with. And that goes along with our tithing.
Mm-hmm.
That if you trust God with your money, he
says,
bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. And then he says, I will pour you out a blessing. All tithes line.
And it's lining up with God. And here Job, it says when. And when that happened, this is when God blessed him with twice.
Twice
as much as he had. And so all that the enemy had taken, Lord have mercy, all that the enemy had thought he had gotten the upper hand. Mm. And that's what the enemy, he always thinks, I got her now. I got Sheila G now.
Mm-hmm.
She's going through depression. She's frustrated. She's praying and calling out to the Lord. I'm whooping that behind now. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And that's what he's thinking. That's what he's thinking. But he doesn't understand the whole time you're lining up with God.
You're trusting God.
You're lining up with God. And just when he thinks that he's going to be able to put that crushing blow on you, God says, nope. That's more than she can bear.
All right.
I'm not going to put anything more on her than she can bear.
Come on.
And now I'm going to not only bless her, but I'm going to give her double for her trouble.
For her trouble. That's right. That's right. And it's holding on till your change comes. Just holding on till your change comes.
And so when you go down and you begin to start seeing these things, and God restored Job, and that's what I love about God, is he has a way of restoring us. And it's so sweet. Dr. G was saying, once you put aside your foolish pride, once you put aside you, once you learn to love folk in spite of folk, once you learn to say, God, whatever state I am, I'm going to be content. When you begin to do that, then now you have that relationship with God. And let's look what God did for Job for the rest of his life. In verse 11, Job 42:11, it says, then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and everyone an earring of gold. And so this was like a family reunion, a family getting together, family coming and realizing all that they have been through, all the struggles that had gone on. And it's a blessing to see how family of God can come together. And they're coming together around the blessings of God. And like you said, Sheila G., they look back over their lives and they saw how much that Job and his family had gone through. He had lost his daughters. He had lost his sons. He had lost his land. He had lost his relationship with his wife. It became struggle. He had lost his relationship with his friend. Had been troubled. And a lot of times, you know, family, they go through things like this. They go through ups, they go through downs, it's emotional, it's feeling, it's all kind of things. But when you can gather around God as a family, I don't care what you're going through.
Hello.
Uh-huh.
If you can gather around God, whether it's your wife, whether it's your children, whether it's your church family, whether whoever it is, when you can gather around God, God can begin to start ministering to everyone that's gathering around.
Amen.
And we all can come together in God and be able to get over the things that had troubled us so vehemently in our lives. And that's the place where God wants us to get to, where we're not just so easily distracted by everything, every wind and every doctrine that comes along and every trial that comes along, but we can gather around God and say, yeah, this might be a tough year, or yeah, this might be something that they're going through. But if we gather around God, we know God's going to work it out.
That's right.
Yeah, it might be your family. It might be my family.
Mm-hmm.
But if we gather around God, I don't care what you're going through, whether it's a sickness, whether it's illness, whether it's loss of job, but there's nothing new under the sun that if you keep God as the center of the family, as the center of the church, the center of your relationship, everyone's going to be able to get to it, because there's a common denominator, Dr. D.
Amen.
Is that everybody going to go through something.
Amen.
Yes.
I don't care who you are.
Amen.
You're not
going to escape out of this world without going through anything.
Nope.
You can fool yourself if you want to.
Yeah, you got to try with your name thing on it.
Trouble going to knock on your door one day. You live long enough. That's what Reverend Stewart at Canaan Baptist Church used to say. He said, you live long enough, and trouble going to knock on your door.
Uh-huh.
But if you gather around God and you have people strong in the Lord that are gathering around with you, you can make it through these difficult situations. You can begin to start looking at each other in love instead of hate, and realizing that you know, none of us are perfect. Mm-hmm. None of us are going about it all the right way.
Right.
But if we learn to love each other and gather around the Lord in love, we can get through anything.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Right.
And through that, everyone is blessed by it.
Amen.
Because when I see you being blessed, it blesses me.
Encourages me.
And vice versa.
Sheila
G. That's right. That's right. When you see others, when you see your brothers and sisters go through, and then what happens is if they've gone through, they can reach back when you're going through yours. They don't necessarily say, I know what you're going through, because they don't know what you're going through, but because they know that there's a spiritual warfare, sometimes just the fact that they're there and they're just praying for your strength. I'm praying for your strength. Then that helps you to be able to get through by group prayer and other people that you know that love you and that you know that are closer to the Lord that are lifting you up through your situation.
Amen, amen. And so they were all willing to help because he had lost everything. He had lost everything but his faith. And he held on to that, and they came around and they rallied around him in faith. In verse 12 it says, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. God has a way.
Yes,
yeah.
You might have gone through your most difficult time. You might have lost a loved one. You might have gone through something terrible in your life.
Well,
but God has a way of blessing you beyond what you thought was a blessing.
All right.
Lord have mercy. In the beginning, God will bless you in your end. Lord have mercy. And as people get older, they begin to start seeing that, wow, God is blessing me in my later years.
All right.
I thought I was being blessed in my early years.
I know that's right.
But now God is blessing me in my later years because I know more about God. Have mercy.
Come on.
I'm not going to preach. I say I'm not going to preach tonight, Dr.
It's Jesus. Hard not to. It's hard not to.
Now, Dr. Gregory, you can testify to that.
Yes.
From a personal standpoint.
Oh, yeah, been there and done it. But you know what? Share this real quick. Jessica, my daughter, I stayed home with her today, and my daughter-in-law's daughter went back to live with her dad for a while, and they went out today to get something, and Jessica yelled out to her, well, Serena, I'm here if you need to talk to me.
Uh-huh.
Now, this girl laid up in
laid
the room.
Up.
Church has on, but I'm here if you need to talk to me.
Isn't that something?
That just blew me away.
Isn't that something? In the midst of her calamity, she's looking. And when you be, and you know, now you begin to understand that it's sweeter than the day before.
Hmm.
You heard the old folks say it's sweeter than the day before.
Right.
In other words, my walk with the Lord is sweeter than the day before. And in other words, It's getting to the point where it's almost to the point where I forgot about those things that I thought were important way back then.
Because God
has given me an understanding and a relationship with him that he's blessed me beyond where I was. And so here Job is being blessed by God. In verse 12 he says, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And in other words,
his wife made up.
That's good.
I'm just saying.
He's not having the babies again. Lord have mercy.
That's right. He and his wife made up.
Amen. That's a good one on Valentine's Day.
She had to do something.
Y'all do our math. So See, the Lord revealed that. He didn't reveal that to me. He revealed that to you, Sheila.
Made up with a wife.
And so the sons that he lost, God restored him. So that the daughters that he lost, God restored him. He doubled the number of animals that he had. And in verse 14, it says, and he called the name of his first daughter, Jemima, and the name of the second, Kezia, and the name of the third, Corinne Hapuk. Somebody go back and study what those names were, and let us know something next week about what those daughters' names meant. And then in verse 15, it says, and in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. And that was unusual for the daughters to get inheritance. But this is how the family of God is blessed. The family, when people in the family begin to start walking upright and in faith and integrity before the Lord, what happens is the whole family begins to get blessed like that.
That's right.
And when you have a family that's prayed together, that's cried together, that's stayed together, that's gone through the ups and the downs, when God begins to bless, that the whole family begins to get blessed. In other words, the bloodline, it begins to get blessed because of the integrity and because the faith of them walking in God. And the whole bloodline is blessed. In other words, we're walking on the blessings or on the shoulders of people who had faith that were in our lives. Dr.
Sheila G., we know that
our ancestors were people of faith that walked in faith, that had integrity.
That's right.
And so the blessing that we're experiencing right now is because of their obedience and their faith walk with God. And so now, even though they weren't perfect, even though they had trouble, even though they had pitfalls, they gather around the word of God.
All right.
And because of that, they bless their posterity that's coming behind them.
And if you think about it, you know, our ancestors and what they went through and how they had to gather just to worship the Lord
my Lord.
How they held on in spite of, and then fast forward up to the 21st century.
Yeah.
And really what we're going through doesn't even count to what they went through. So we've got a whole lot, and we are being blessed because of what they went through.
Amen.
Right. That's very true. And then as we pass that on to generations, each generation, as it goes on, is blessed by the previous generation, the faithfulness of the previous generation. But it has to be passed down and continue to pass that word down. That's why it's important that we allow our children to be in church and to be seen and be active in church, as opposed to pushing them to the side, so that they too can be blessed and push that on to the other generations.
My Lord. And so here the family of Job is being blessed. They're reestablished. God has restored them. The enemy has been defeated again. And here's Job's relationship with God. In verse 16, it says, after this, Lord have mercy, lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even four generations. So Job died being old and full of days. And I think about our dad Sheila G, and our mom to see, you know, them to see their children, you know, up and the grandchildren, and great grandchildren. To see them, and even with you and Dr. G, to see your children and grandchildren, it's like there's nothing new under the sun.
No, it's not.
It's in the Bible. It's telling us what
if we're faithful,
what is going to happen.
Amen.
And I watch and I look and I see Dr. G with his grandchildren, and I see you, Sheila G, and I see how my mom and look at their great grandchildren and look at the children, and you know, they have gray hair and they might not move as fast as they mm-hmm. used to, or their minds not be as sharp as they used to, but they endured.
Amen.
Yeah.
God Almighty.
Amen.
They endured, yeah. and they endured with faith.
Mm-hmm.
And God blessed them to be able to see their you know, he blessed Job. He said he lived 140 years and he saw.
Saw.
He saw.
Right.
So when you walk in that faith, God will bless you to be able to see his goodness, to see
yeah.
all his promises, to see mm-hmm. all that he said he was going to do. Lord have mercy.
Right.
That's the blessing right there.
Amen.
And when you think about that, that's just the goodness of God. When you can look and you say there's nothing new under the sun, and our grandparents were able to see us, and great-grandparents were able to see us, and that's what it's all about. And that's why all this crazy, foolish, upside-down, ignorant, dumb-for-no-reason stuff that's going on in the world needs to take a humble seat and bow to the word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
And then they will be able to experience a blessed life. But
right.
they're chasing after the things that are lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride
right.
of life that Satan propagates in front of them, and he steals so much of their blessing. But if you get around the word of God and get into family and get into the faith of learning and trusting God, then you can live that life. You
mm-hmm.
can live that life where you can say, yeah, it might be a little difficult right now, but I know my latter end is going to be better than my beginning. And I know
yeah.
I'm going to be able to see my son, and my
Amen.
Son,
Amen.
And my daughters
mm-hmm.
going to be blessed, and they're going to be beautiful, and God is going to show the principalities of the spirit of the power of the air what it's like to be in the family of God.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to prove
Amen.
That. He's going to get the glory, and he's going to be able to look at whatever principalities that doubted him and say, have you considered my servant Job?
All right.
Have you considered my servant Gregory? Have you considered my
yeah.
servant Kason?
Hello.
And even though I'm allow you to them to go through some tough times,
right.
have you considered my servants at New Birth? Have you considered my servants at Heart of God?
Well,
even though they've gone through some tough times, Lord have mercy, they maintain their integrity, and they have faith enough to know that their latter end, good God Almighty, is going to be
yes.
greater than the beginning.
Than the beginning.
And God will
That's
be able
right.
to show them,
amen,
who amen. He is and what he has done, amen.
Amen.
Lord have mercy. Dr.
Wow.
D, help me out with that.
No, amen. No, that's awesome. And what you're saying, what all of this saying, you know, it's true. Because when I look at my own life and I think of my beginning compared to where I am now,
amen.
All I can do is just give God the glory. All that I went through.
Yeah.
The good times, the bad times. I mean, when I'm preaching the book, I'm in the past.
Yeah.
I'm talking about those days so that when I tell them that God will bring you out,
yeah.
I know what I'm talking about. It's not hearsay.
Good God Almighty. That's good stuff, Sheila G.
That is so true, and I've seen it. That's why I said it is so important for us to pull on our past victories, because that's how you know that you're going to the next level and the next level and the next level. And each time you go through and you get through, you're getting higher and higher and higher and closer to the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Well, Lord have mercy. I hate to end it, Lord. This stuff gets gooder and gooder. Lord, everybody, we thank God for the power of his spirit. Oh, my God. It's just awesome. It really is something that, you know, to have the two churches gather around the word of God and have the input, you know, it's just a blessing. I thank God for you, Sheila G. I thank God for you, Dr. G. I thank God for New Birth and Heart of God. Everyone that continues to call in, to listen in, to go back to the archives, because this is what is causing us to get stronger. This is what's causing us to be able to get to a place where God can use us through his glory to reach somebody else that they might be able to experience this richness of God that we experience on Thursday night. So I invite somebody,
Amen.
You know, blow up somebody's line. Tell them, you know, on Thursday
call
night
in.
For an hour, you know, call in. Get a piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or go to the archives and get a piece of it. Because this is enriching your spirit life. This enriches your spirit, man. This will give you the strength and the ability and the understanding to know what's going on when trials and tribulations come your way. If you can draw back on a Bible study like tonight, it will give you renewed strength that
yes,
Isaiah talked about.
Yes.
And I just thank God for it. Sheila G, I'm going to ask you to close us out in prayer tonight.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you once again for the richness of your word, Lord. We come praying right now, Lord, that we will be able to take the things that we've learned tonight, because it's nothing new under the sun. Hide it in our hearts, Lord, and help us to understand that we have to wait on you. We have to be of good courage. We have to know that you know what's going on around us, and that you will help us when we know that our change is going to come, Lord. I ask you to continue to bless our Bible study, those that are listening. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, with that, we're going to say good night, and hopefully we'll hear from you and see you on next Thursday night. God bless and take care.
God bless.
Amen.
Amen.